Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk, the podcast on purebred dogs. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today, we are going to help you learn how to master the dog show ring. We're going to give you like a virtual tour so that you're comfortable in the ring and that you have all of the information you need ahead of time. Remember, our goal is for you to be successful by being able to concentrate on just showing your dog. Top competitors in any sport sort of visualize their performances. And we're going to help you make that transition that wherever you are, whether you're a beginning handler, experienced handler, a competitive handler, all the way up to master handler, we're going to help you make that transition to the next step up or wherever you want to get. A master handler, and this is our goal, this is like our end result goal. A master handler is a master of the ring. That's their theater. That's their stage. They own that. And you and your dog can reach towards that as a goal. A lot of this that we do when we show dogs, this is all in your head. Once you get down the basics of where to put the foot and what to do with the leash and what do you do with the collar, all the rest of it is in your head. And master handlers make it look really easy. You need to not underestimate the amount of concentration and focus that's required when you're in the ring. And we're going to give you some good, solid professional tips so that you don't get overwhelmed. First things first, get to the dog show early. Do not come running in at the last second, you and your dog all flusterpated and trying to figure out where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. And this is guaranteed to be unsuccessful. Get to the show 2 hours ahead of your scheduled ring time is my preference. Get to your grooming setup. Get your dog settled. Go to the ring. Find out where the ring is. Check to make sure your dog is actually entered in the catalog. All of these things happen in that 2 hours ahead of your actual ring time. I strongly recommend that you go 2 breeds ahead of yours and watch the judging. Sit there for a half an hour or an hour, whatever it takes, and really watch the judge. Watch the pattern. Watch where the dogs are examined. Watch how the dogs are examined. Does the judge look back down the line? Do you have to pay attention to that? This is part of your visualization. This is part of figuring out how you can best show your dog on this day so that the judge can find what he's looking for. Say your ring time is 10 a.m. and there are 3 breeds ahead of you. And there's a total of 30 dogs in those 3 breeds. So you figure 2 minutes a dog. Heck, you're not going to go in the ring until 11. Well, may I suggest that sometimes those dogs don't show up. And sometimes you have judges that go lots faster than 2 minutes a dog. Once again, strong recommendation. Go to your ring at the time that the set of breeds that you're being judged in starts. Pick up your armband, ask the ring steward to see, you know, roughly how many dogs are picked up before the judging of your breed starts. That way you know that you're going to be there on time and you are not going to miss your class. This is going to make you and your dog a lot more comfortable, a lot more relaxed. I don't recommend having your dog sit at ringside for 2 hours because they're going to get bored. So I like to go watch a couple breeds, pick up my armband, know how long it's going to be until I'm in the ring within a reasonable amount of time. So now you go back to your setup. Double check, make sure your dog is properly groomed. Your checklist on this includes clean dog. Yes, it had to have a bath. Toenails don't touch the ground. Pearly white teeth and shiny pink ears. These are critical pieces to having a dog that looks good in the ring. Also double check, make sure your outfit is comfortable, that you remember to change into your show shoes. done that before. Grab a mint. I know this might sound weird, but the smell will help cover the nerves on your breath. Literally, your dog can smell your fear. A breath mint gives you the edge over your super smelling canine companion. Now is when your mental game comes in. You've practiced your 5-second drills. You know where to line up. You know what the judge is going to want you to do. You know your dog can do a free stack that rocks the world. You know your dog can move in a straight line on a loose lead, and you know your presentation quietly, confidently, showcases your dog as the easy and obvious choice. When the judging begins for your breed and your class is called in, you've got some things that you need to kind of pay attention to at that time. Look at your armband number, know where you are in relationship to the other dogs in your class. Are you the only one? Are there 10 of you? Certain judges, if you're the only one in a class, will just have you run around. Certain ones will want to examine the dog first and then go around the ring. This is why you've sat and watched a couple breeds ahead of yours, so that you know this and you're prepared for it. You know what you're going to do. Your armband number is called. You go in the ring, get lined up, and the judge will ask the class to go around. This is pretty common. This is not every time, but this is a pretty normal experience. Make sure that when you move the dog around the ring, you've got the collar right up around his ears, you're balanced. Make sure as you're moving around the ring and as you are stacking your dog in the ring, always, always, always pay attention to the spacing of yourself and the other dogs. This is actually super important. You need to watch the dog ahead of you, watch the dog behind you, so that nobody is cramped and you are not crowding or infringing on another dog. And as you're going around the ring, if you wait 1, 2, 3 beats as the dog ahead of you goes, you can follow behind and move your dog in the fashion and at the speed that is best for your dog without, again, hindering another dog, infringing on someone else's performance, but still showcasing your dog to the best of your ability. As you're waiting in line for your turn to be examined, your dog's turn to be examined, watch what the judge is doing with these dogs. If this is a table breed, where does the judge want the dog placed on the table? This is an important thing to think about with your toy and terrier and any of your table breeds, where the dog is positioned on the table to make it easiest for the judge to examine the dog. So you're going to put the dog close to the front and close to the judge's side edge of that table, so it's an easy exam. Different judges have different ways of setting up their table. The standard is just in line with the mat and just where you would set up a dog on the floor. Other judges want them in all kinds of wonky places. So you need to pay attention to that and be prepared for it and not get caught off guard. Everything that you are prepared to do mentally and physically is going to be easier than something that catches you by surprise. You will also have been able to see what the judge's pattern is. So are you going to do a down and back? Are you going to do a triangle? Are you, for Pete's sake, going to be in one of those rings that's going to ask you to do an L? That's okay. We can figure out how to do an L as long as you know that it's coming. You can learn, if you haven't been taught that pattern, you can learn from just watching the other exhibitors. So you do your down and back, your whatever your pattern is, you do your free stack for the judge, and you go around. Does this judge look at your free stack at the end of the line, or is this judge back to examining the other dog? Again, you're going to know this because you watched and you've been paying attention to what went ahead of you. Ring awareness, just generally ring awareness. So let's say now everybody's been examined, all the dogs are lined up, the judge is coming down the line looking at the individual animals. If you've been paying attention to other rings or other breeds in the same ring under this judge, you're going to have an idea if you'll be able to make a little eye contact with the judge as he comes and looks at your dog. Does the judge want to see a silhouette? Does the judge want to see only a head? Are they looking for expression? These are the things that the judge is going to be looking for as they come down the line, and each person and each breed, they want to see something different. So you can know this and be prepared for it by watching other breeds and earlier judging in your breed. Sportsmanship, we can't talk too much about this. This is very
much a part of what this game is about. And congratulating the winners, being a graceful winner, these are important things to consider and to remember. And sometimes we forget and get caught up in our own moment, but it's something I'd request that everybody make a point of saying congratulations or saying thank you if someone congratulates you. Each person in that ring loves their dog the best. You love your dog the best. That gal over there loves her dog the best. And whoever wins is excited and should be allowed the happiness of that moment. And when we exhibit poor sportsmanship, you're taking that away from someone. And that's not fair. So let's make a point of saying congratulations to everybody. That sportsmanship piece also includes the paying attention to your spacing, not throwing bait in front of somebody else's dog, not running up on the person in front of you. All of those things come into the playing fair and doing things the right way. Speaking of baiting, we can move on to baiting. Bait, whether it be food or squeaky toy or what have you, bait is sometimes an imperative piece of your presentation of your dog. Not always. If you've listened to some of our earlier podcasts and talked about hand stacking your dog as a basic obedience exercise, you'll know that you can get your dog set up and ready for the judge to see without using any food, and you'll be comfortable with that. Some judges don't want you to have bait in the ring. They'll have big signs, no bait, no throwing bait, blah. And if the only thing you know is to shove food in your dog's mouth, that's going to leave you a little bit confused. Check back on our other podcast on hand stacking and see if you can teach your dog to be ready to go to a dog show without food in its face. A little bit of food goes a long way. When you have bait for your dog, you want to not feed the dog right before the judge comes to do the mouth exam. If you have a dog on the table, it's best you don't feed it on the table at all. Personally, this is my opinion. I think that too often the dogs are looking for food coming from the judge, and I've seen too many instances where a dog thought that the judge had food and went to mouth at the judge's hand for food. The judge mistook that as being a bite, and things went very bad. So if you can avoid feeding the dog right when the judge is coming up to it, or feeding it on the table at all, I think that's your better choice. Squeaky toys. Yes, I understand that sometimes squeaky toys are the only thing that work. But keep in mind, as your dog is vigorously squeak, 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 or you're squeaking or whatever, you are interrupting or distracting or causing a problem for someone else's dog. And that isn't fair. So if you must use a squeaky toy, and I understand sometimes that's your only option, use it judiciously. In other words, squeak it once, not 20 times. See if you can get the dog to give you the desired expression or what have you by just showing them the toy without actually having to squeak it. Something to just always be keeping in mind is everybody else in the ring. It's important that you show your dog to the best of your ability, but you also need to be considerate. Backing up just a little bit, before you get into the ring, we talked about go back to your grooming setup and get your dog groomed. So what does that actually mean? It's somewhat disconcerting how many judges have told me over the years that dogs come into their ring that are dirty. This is pretty much of a basic. The dog has to have a bath. That's required. The dogs need to be clean. And by clean, I mean clean all the way to the skin. And if you have a coated breed, that can sometimes be a little bit challenging to learn how to do. Make sure that you have someone who has taught you how to properly bathe and groom your dog. Toenails. Toenails can be a challenge in certain breeds. If you need help trimming your dog's toenails or grinding your dog's toenails to keep them short enough, you should seek that out. Professional groomers, professional handlers, your breeder, there are people who will help you learn how to properly keep your dog's toenails up. A dog's toenails should never touch the floor. If I can hear the dog on the floor, your dog's toenails are not short enough, and you need to work on that some more. Another big no-no, dirty teeth. The judges have to look in that dog's mouth. it would be best if they weren't looking at nasty brown, yellow tartar. You can scale your own dog's teeth. You can ask a professional groomer or a veterinarian to scale your dog's teeth. Hopefully, you have been keeping up on your home maintenance and the dog has hard chew bones and things that will help keep that tartar buildup down. But trimmed toenails and clean teeth and clean ears, all of those are important pieces of a clean, properly presented show dog. The final piece of that then is, what is the correct grooming for your breed? Now understand, there's 170 some odd breeds recognized by the American Kennel Club now. There's lots of different grooming out there. Everything from a poodle to a whippet. So I'm not going to try and offer you what you need to do with your dog. That can be a separate topic. But it's important that your dog be properly groomed for its breed and for the standard and for the ring. And what the groomers can do at Petco, which I'm sure is completely fine for a pet dog, is not going to be the same as what the dog may need to be groomed for the show ring. So just get with your mentor, get with your breeder, get with a professional handler, talk to someone who really knows the breed, and make sure that the grooming on your dog is correct for the breed that you're showing. And then, big one, your grooming. You are also in the equation. There's a lot of impressions being made here, and your dog is hopefully the most important part of that equation, but you're in it too. So you need to be comfortable, you need to be professional looking, and you need to be basically respectful of the sport. What that means is, for men, you want a sports jacket, slacks, and a tie. That's fine. You don't have to be wearing a $5,000 hoopy-doopy fancy suit from England. You just need to be dressed properly, neatly, comfortably. Women, always, we have a harder time with these things. Flat shoes. Need to have flat shoes. Please do not go in a dog show ring in flip-flops, in high heels, in strappy sandals. Please don't do that. Wear flat shoes. If you think they're not cute enough, only wear them for the 2 minutes in the ring. But please go in the ring in proper footwear. There's a safety issue as much as anything else. Next, skirt or slacks. I think really either, particularly these days, either is fine. Used to be, back in the day, skirts were like the only thing. But I think today, nice professional looking slacks are completely acceptable. Wear a skirt that would pass the nun's test. And you know the one I'm talking about, where you bend over and there's nothing to see except the back of your knees. Really important to have appropriate attire. There's a lot of bending and moving, and modesty is good. Try to find outfits that have pockets. So putting your bait in your pocket is a lot easier than trying to figure out where you're going to put it, in a little bait pouch or in your armband or in your bra. Yeesh. Just look for something that has pockets. It's a whole lot easier. It'll make your life simpler. So through this whole process now, we've kind of had a virtual tour of the dog show ring. We've experienced how that's going to go. We've watched ourselves be properly spaced out, be examined. And the end result is that you've made a little eye contact with the judge, and the judge has looked again at your dog, and hey, today you went winner's dog. Congratulations. Mastering the dog show ring is a mental exercise. Practice really does make perfect. And the more you practice, the more you visualize this, the more you are left free to concentrate on making the picture for the judge. Your shoulders are back, your bearing is proud, your dog is picture perfect. That image is the winning image. And the more you are able to showcase that to the judge, see your dog in a perfect picture frame, the better chance you have of being successful on that given day. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.